This is Mr. Michael Bean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Randy England, the Wampus Cat. Are you safe, sir?
That's me, and I am safe.
You've not been contacted by the government?
No.
You had to think about it? Well, I mean, you probably step into the belly of the beast several days a week.
The government contacts me almost every day.
Yeah. You're so Randy England is an attorney. He's a libertarian attorney, which doesn't mean he's one of those people who thinks that magic words will get you out of trouble. He's a practicing attorney. I don't know if licensed is the word. What's the word? Is it licensed attorney?
Yeah, licensed. And by the way, I'm going to give you a few magic words later this evening.
Yeah. And we're not talking about many. It's nothing to do with like fringe on a flag or any crap like that. He's an actual attorney who happens to be a libertarian. But he's going to tell you how to minimize your damage when you are contacted by the government, specifically by the police, and when they just can't keep their filthy mitts off you and you haven't really done anything that should be a crime. That's what we're going to talk about later. However, in the meantime, there's something really cool that I want to chat about a little bit. It's called OuterNet. This is not a paid ad. This is just something I'm excited about. I'm always excited about new technologies that route around the censorship of various states and governments and tyrants and people with epaulets and reams of paper backed by men with rifles and pistols who can tell you what to do. OuterNet is let me play the little short YouTube intro and I'll tell you more about it. Here, it's got chirping birds. It's pretty cool.
It's the end of information droughts. It's the end of limited access. It's the end of controlling censorship. This is about making information a natural resource. This is the beginning. The beginning of a new chapter. The beginning of a second half. It's the beginning of a fresh season. OuterNet is not the internet. It's the fastest and most economical way to offer access to information. With help from users around the world, OuterNet uploads any type of digital content and broadcasts it over satellites for free. The dish receives the broadcast content and stores it on its hard drive. Anyone with a Wi-Fi radio can connect to the dish's hotspot and view the content through a browser. Now, the middle of nowhere is still at the center of everything. Offline users, people without access to broadband internet, can request specific types of content through SMS, messaging apps, and the OuterNet Facebook page. OuterNet will broadcast it all, anonymously requested, democratically chosen, and viewed without censorship. This is OuterNet. Let's get started.
That sounds pretty nifty, doesn't it, Randy?
It does sound nifty. But yeah. How does it work?
Well, it's basically I wouldn't say not just a plan. It's actually being beta tested. It is a global broadcast data startup that's a United States-based impact investment and nonprofit organization. OuterNet's goal is to provide free access content to the web through geostationary and low Earth orbit satellites, made available effectively to all parts of the world. The project uses datacasting and UDP through both small satellites such as CubeSats and larger, more conventional geostationary communication satellites. Wi-Fi-enabled devices would communicate with satellite hotspots, which receive data broadcasts from satellites. The network is primarily focused on one-way data service, with two-way traffic being a long-term goal. Initial satellite broadcast planned for August 2014. Actually, I think this is old information. I think they're doing some testing now. with global distribution scheduled for October 2014. Oh, it's past August 4th. I don't even know what month it is. The initial content includes international and local news, crop prices for farmers, Teachers Without Borders, emergency communications such as disaster relief, applications, content such as Linux, Ubuntu, movies, games, and Wikipedia in its entirety. And the last part here is the part that makes me like it even more, because governments don't like it. Requests to NASA to use the International Space Station to test the technology were denied in June 2014. The way it works is broadcasting things to CubeSats, you know, these little, like, six-inch on each side cube satellites that kind of hitch a ride on other space launches and get put into space. You know, which is a new technology I don't even know if all our listeners know about. It's a thing called CubeSats, which are basically really small satellites that you don't need to have a special rocket to launch. They just they kind of hitch a ride on other launches of bigger satellites, a lot of times for free for educational use. And it broadcasts one direction down to Earth content, educational content, that can be picked up really easily for very little money. Basically, they have the instructions on their website how to do it. And Derek Slopey is doing this. Basically, you need like a Ku band receiver satellite dish, and then a router and, you know, a computer as small as like a Raspberry Pi, which is one of those like little $40 Linux computers. So the idea is to get some internet access, you know, at least in one direction of receiving educational internet access to all parts of the world, to places where there currently isn't any. And I know there are places, this is hard to believe for a lot of people, but there are places in the world with no internet access. Like, we have a friend who in Cameroon, Africa, like, he cannot get, even if he had money, you can't get any kind of internet service in his town. And he listens to LRN on Ku band satellite, on a satellite receiver, which is different from this. This is transmitting data, not voice, over Ku band. But it sounds pretty neat to me, and I'm really psyched for the whole idea of the thing. I'll put the I'll post the links in the show notes today. Randy?
Well, you know, after you sent me an email and I was looking at this a little bit, and I ran across a one of the posts that was on some outer net. Well, it's on the Discuss Outer Net webpage. So this is their page. And the guy that wrote the article was kind of pointing out the things that were going to be difficult in making it happen, and pointed out that, first of all, that communication, any kind of communication, let alone two-way, and of course, this is only one way. You can simply download what it's sending right now, or what the initial plan is. But the satellites in low Earth orbit are overhead for like 2 to 6 minutes. So it's only what you can get for that little bit of time. And although they may pass over you more than one time a day, you're going to be limited to what you can get. And as I gather, you're limited to what the satellite happens to be streaming at the moment, because you can't go to it like you can a server and say, give me the latest burn for Ubuntu or something.
Well, the thing I was getting from this commercial was it said that things can be requested via SMS texting. But I think that's not to the satellite. I think that's to the local receiver and whoever is rebroadcasting it.
And be available all the time, not just 3 minutes a day or 6 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever time you would get.
Yeah, well, it seems like a proof of concept at this point, or a little bit beyond that. I mean, it's actually testing. And I want to have Derek Slopey come on once he gets this up and running, because he is setting up a receiver and a rebroadcaster for it with his technical expertise. So we look forward to that, man.
You'll be checking it when it comes overhead.
Yeah. And we'll be back with more with Randy England on the Freedom Fiends Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
That's the Wampus Cat, Randy England. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. I have one announcement and five or six corrections. The one announcement is that Bill Bupert, one of our illustrious co-hosts, is writing a new book, and he has a chapter of it up on ZeroGov.com. Right now it's at the top of the site. It's a book called Cancer Club, and it is about the police industrial complex, apparently, from what I can tell. I haven't had time to read it yet, but that's what the picture looks like. And I know Bill, and he's an expert on debunking the belief that cops are your friends and that they can be reined in. So go to ZeroGov.com and check out the chapter of Bill's new novel, Cancer Club. It's up there. The other thing is I have five corrections from last night. Now, to be fair, that makes it sound like, I mean, some people might hear that and be like, you made five mistakes? The whole episode must be horrible. No, but the whole episode, actually, we were breaking ground with philosophy and coming up with some new stuff. The five mistakes I made were just slips of misspeaking while very excited. So let me go through these really quick. I said the Pink Floyd lyrics of Have a Cigar where you're going to make it if they try. It's you're going to make it if you try. I knew that. I was just talking real fast.
I knew that too. Yeah.
Yep. And let's see, this song, I talked about that my band Bomb had a song called Vainglorious. It was actually called Painglorious, which is a takeoff on the word Vainglorious. See, I make so much media, I don't even know the names of every song I've recorded off the top of my head. And of course, I don't know the words to all the words to Pink Floyd songs I haven't heard in 20 years. All right, so I used the term spontaneous evolution, but I was actually talking about spontaneous generation, which is the ridiculous idea that, you know, like fish just form in mud puddles. It was what people believed before they knew about sexual reproduction. I said that Alcoholics Anonymous patented the phrase Alcoholics Anonymous. I meant, of course, that Alcoholics Anonymous trademarked the phrase Alcoholics Anonymous. And finally, I misspoke when I said all the different AA fellowships except one talk about we practice these principles in all our affair. I didn't mean AA fellowship. I meant AA-inspired fellowships. So what I should have said was all the different 12-step fellowships except one talk about that we practice these principles in all our affairs. So there's, I'm wrong sometimes, and I admit it.
And you didn't make any mistakes about the seven deadly sins, right?
No. You were our resident Catholic correspondent, and we got it all right, huh?
I think that you can be absolved from those. Okay. So just let your mind be at ease.
I feel better already. So
you would.
Tell me about cops and what to do if they poke you.
Well, you know, this is back up a little bit because I know we talked about this last time. We didn't talk about all of it, but we talked about the Miranda warnings, which everybody, you know, knows what those are, where they say you have the right to remain silent, right?
Let's back up a second here, too.
Back up some more. Okay.
We're talking about law in America, and the show is listened to in an international way on the internet. And one of the stations we're on, the radio stations we're on, actually goes into a little bit of Canada. So your mileage may vary if you're not in America. This is only about the laws in America.
All right. Well, and you go back to 1966 when in the case of the
Carmen Miranda. No.
Sorry. Versus Arizona. Yeah, where the Supreme Court of the United States said prior to any questioning, you know, a person has to be warned that they have the right to remain silent, that any statement they make can be used against them in court, will be used against them, and that they have a right to the presence of attorney. You know, either they hire one or one will be appointed if they can't afford an attorney. And if you want to have, the attorney present for questioning, you can, you know, that's it. And if, if the court at that time said if the person indicates in any manner at all, any way, and at any stage of this process that he wants to consult with an attorney before speaking, there can be no questioning at all. Now, that's what the law was with Miranda. And it also said that if the person is alone and indicates in any manner he doesn't want to be interrogated, the police can't question him. So two ways the police have got to leave you alone at this point after they read these rights. You know, one is if you say, I don't want to be, you indicate in any way that you don't want to answer questions, or if you just say, I want to talk to an attorney, that gets them off your back too. So either one of those under the Miranda case would work. And even if they had already been answering some questions or volunteered some statements on their own, they still have the right at any point not to answer any further questions.
To clarify, the they you're talking about there is the suspect, not the police.
The suspect, exactly.
All right, we'll have more Randy England's Legal Clinic on the Freedom Fiends. Your mileage may vary. Consult an attorney. Randy is not your attorney, but he's going to give you some information that you can choose or use or lose.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. Tasing you at liberty since 2011. Oh, yeah. That's the Wampus Cat. Randy has a toy.
Right here.
Yep. The difference between men and boys is the price of their toys, but wasn't that toy like a dollar or something?
Oh, actually, no.
What is that? Is that an app or is that a mechanical device?
It's a cell phone playing the sound of a Wampus Cat growling.
Where'd you get that?
Why? From a Wampus Cat.
Yeah.
Where would you get it?
Well, I've heard they don't exist, but that's another story. They do exist in Missouri, apparently.
Makes it even more valuable.
The rare. It's an extremely rare recording of a Wampus Cat.
Right, sometime so, I'll play my recording of a passenger pigeon one of these days, okay?
They're extinct, yeah. Okay, so Randy is going to tell us more about dealing with the police.
Okay, that's what I was doing when we went to the Agora there, didn't we?
Yes.
Well, as we talked last time, and I think, you know, the advice, not advice, I don't give advice, but what I was talking about mostly is sometimes when they set you down to question you and read you Miranda, and basically the smart thing to do, as I was talking about earlier, is to say two things. To say, I want to remain silent, or you could say, I want to invoke my right to remain silent. And you could say, I want to talk to an attorney first. And the smartest thing you can do is to say both. Say, I'm going to have my right to remain silent, and I want to talk to a lawyer first. Now, those two things would save you everywhere. But there's been things that have been happening in the law that have made this more of, I guess, a problem.
Now, let me interject for a sec here.
Sure.
When you say they would save you anywhere, you don't mean you'll get out of jail free. You mean like you won't get yourself in more trouble, right?
Yeah, they would not be allowed to continue questioning you.
I mean,
and
they would not
be allowed to use your silence against you.
I mean, if you murder somebody in cold blood and there's video of it and they arrest you and you say, I invoke my right to remain silent and I want to speak to an attorney, you're not going to not serve any jail time, most likely.
That's not what I meant. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because isn't going to save you if there's a video of you committing the crime.
Yeah.
This is only saving you from yourself at that from time.
More, yeah. The reason I bring that up, I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer, but I was astonished at some of the responses of the other episode you did talking about dealing with a traffic stop when a cop stops you. Saying that, I mean, there was actually somebody who said, wow, this was great information. I can't believe it's amazing to learn that you have a better chance of not getting in more trouble if you retain an attorney than if you represent yourself. That was mind blowing to me, that there's actually people out there, intelligent people, who think, oh, if I represent myself and don't hire an attorney, I won't have the problems that an attorney would, you know, like they live in this fantasy world of thinking that because they've watched a couple episodes of Law and Order, they know how to navigate the law and a courtroom and a police interrogation.
Well, yeah, and it makes about as much sense as saying, I don't know why my TV should work better if a professional builds it as opposed to me building it myself, or why on earth should I call a plumber when I can do it myself? Yeah. I mean, sounds like a silly question. Like, should I call somebody that knows about this, or should I just do it myself?
I think a good analogy would be dentistry, because and actually, you know, becoming a lawyer probably requires more training than becoming a dentist. But, you know, I mean, you could say, well,
I don't know that's true. I could
save some money with a bottle of whiskey and a pair of pliers and do my own dentistry.
How about a little abdominal surgery?
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, I'm sure there's people listening who think, oh, we're part of the lawyer industrial complex and we're just trying to get work for lawyers. But that's not the case. And, you know, the person listening in a state that's not Missouri is not going to hire Randy. And Randy's opinion of attorneys isn't so high that he wants to throw them all unnecessary work all over the world anywhere, you know, so.
I really have no interest in that at all. I'm not trying to throw me any. I don't care about that. I don't believe we should be licensed. I think anyone who knows how to do this should be allowed to do it.
But most people don't know how to do it.
Well, then you'd be dumb to hire them if they know how to do it. You should in a free world, you could hire a guy that knew how to do it, and the fact that he didn't have a license would have nothing to do with anything.
And do you turn down work?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're not fishing for work by being on here.
Well, it just depends on, you know, whether I'm in a position to help somebody.
Yeah, and you can't.
Oh, nobody's listening to this. It's going to call me this.
We are on in one town in Missouri, but
yeah, down in Cape Girardeau.
Only on the weekends though, too. So this is not going to be on there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like 6 hours away from me. So. But if you need me, give me a holler. If you get a ticket in Jefferson City, how about that?
There you go.
If that was an advertisement, I'm probably required to give a disclaimer right now, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay, the chances are incredibly slim that somebody listening is going to be going through Jefferson City, Missouri and call you. So I don't think we have to call that an ad.
Well, actually, I do know what the warning is. I just brought up, I have my blog open here for some reason. And on the outside chance that my blog is considered advertising, the Supreme Court of Missouri requires me on everything I have on my website, any kind of advertising, that I have a notice that says the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements, which really cheeses me off, okay, to have to put that up there. I mean, it's like it's so insulting to my client. So I took it and I took one of these tags like you might see on a mattress, you know, it says big caution, and then I put the warning on it, and then I put do not remove this tag under penalty of the law. So I guess I'm kind of pimping my Supreme Court. I'll probably lose my license, but
yeah, I've had to add a disclaimer on all of our sites on the right sidebar, and this one is probably less likely to be enforced than an attorney advertising himself. But there's actually been a Federal Trade Commission, I don't know if ruling, but they don't, you know, it's one of those agencies that makes laws illegally. That's not really, you know, a lawmaker, but they make policy that can be enforced like law. So there's this disclaimer on the right sidebar of all my websites now, below where all the, like, click here to go to the Amazon link, Freedom Fiends Amazon link. We get a little money if you go in here. I had to add this. It says, we earn referral fees if you use the below services. And then I added, but we wouldn't recommend a service unless we use them. Which is, I guess people are so stupid that they have to be told this, you know, this is an ad.
Well, I could just suggest one other thing, and this is not legal advice, of course, but if it still galls you that you even have to put up that notice, you could just put a little thing above it that says, the notice below is required by some moron at such and such agency. I apologize, but here it is.
Yeah, I actually did that on one blog. I had a thing that said, the Federal Trade Commission thinks you're really stupid, so I have to put this here.
There you go.
And then, okay. And then I put the thing. All right, so
We know it's not voluntary.
Back to what to do if the man throws some cuffs on you and drags you to... we did a whole other episode, which I will link in this episode, on how to deal with a traffic stop. But we're talking about now it's escalated beyond a traffic stop, and they've cuffed you and thrown you in the back of a police car. What next?
Okay, well, you know, I told you the two things you could say that'll keep you from doing further damage from yourself, but it turned out to be not quite that simple. I mean, this case, Miranda, back in 1966, it caused a lot of cops and a lot of, police departments to they carry this little card, you know, that says Miranda warnings, and they read it right off. And most of the time they read it just word for word because they want to make sure they get it right. When they come into court to testify, they pull out their little card and they say it exactly because they're afraid, you know, they'll make a mistake. And, you know, I guess I understand that. But on many of the Miranda warning cards, it says the last thing after they read all their rights, then that says, do you now understand each of these rights I have explained to you? And they're supposed to say yes. And
wait, stop saying they, please. Say who the they is, because I don't know if you're talking the cop or the suspect.
The suspect, the defendant. Okay. The suspect is supposed to indicate in some way that they understand their right. I mean, they could nod their head or say yes, but... And then they say, well, having these rights in mind, do you wish to talk to us now? Ask them if they're willing to waive their right and answer questions. And many police departments have been doing this for years, going back 50 years now to Miranda, and that has been standard procedure. But in fact, those last lines about do you understand or do you want to talk to them, where you're asking them to waive their rights, is not part of the Miranda warnings. And a lot of cops, they stopped doing it, and they decided that they don't have to ask them. All they have to do is read the Miranda warnings and start asking questions.
Lot of people answer questions even when they don't have to, because they think, well, I'm basically a good person and I haven't done anything wrong, so it can't hurt me to just talk and try to explain myself. And that's a mistake, right?
Oh, man, that's horrible. And I get that phone call fairly often where someone, maybe they got caught stealing from their boss. And the boss says, I'm gonna turn you into the police. And they're at least smart enough to get on the phone and call me and say, what should I do? I'm going, boy, you know, this is easy. Shut up. You know, don't say anything. Don't talk to them about it. People really, really want to. Frequently, they think they can talk their way out of it. And to be honest, I tell people, you know, I don't know, one case in 20, one case in 10, you might talk your way out of it. You know, maybe if you are innocent, maybe you'll just say something simple that'll end it. But 1 in 10 or 1 in 20, do those sound like good odds to you?
No.
Yeah, and so I'm saying, so I'm not telling you that you absolutely are going to hurt yourself by talking to them, but I'm telling you that you probably are, so don't. If you've got a defense, you can tell them later if you want.
All right.
Don't do it now.
We'll be back with more after this trip to the Agora. The Agora.
Yeah.
The market.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends. Talking to Randy England. I'm reading the comments on the Freedom Fiends blog from the last time Randy was on. They're pretty funny. This one says, "This was a real gem of an episode. At times, Randy seems too gentlemanly to be a fiend." But then he goes and drops mad science on us like this show. Yep. He said, I really valued the explanation of the timeline of dealing with police, and I'd never thought about vocally not consenting to everything. I was also shocked that an attorney representing me has more abilities than me representing myself. That's the one that just blew my mind. Like, it just, I'm not making fun of the guy. The guy's smart. I know the guy, but it's like, that's basically like saying, it just amazed me to find out that a dentist would do a better job than myself with a pair of rusty pliers and some whiskey.
Well, don't be too hard on the guy. If depending on what circles you run in on the internet and that, you can get a lot of advice on how you should behave when you go to court and what tricks you might use. And the same site will also tell you that, look, you can hire a lawyer, but it's just like hiring a spy in your camp because he's going to be on the other guy's side.
Yeah, and I've seen that.
I get a lot of phone calls from people that are in other counties, places that are far enough from where I live that I don't go and practice there. And the reason they called me was because I was far enough away from their county that I wasn't in cahoots with the prosecutor and the judge.
Yeah.
And I thought, how do you know I'm not?
Yeah, but you're not. And that is a common misbelief. I mean, a lot of people, you know, theoretically, yeah, an attorney is an agent, not an agent of the state, but what's the proper term? You're a
licensed by the state, I guess. An animal of the state. I don't know.
Animal of the state. A ward of the, no, something of the court. What's the term?
Officer
of the court. Yeah, which
state the court. Which actually has no meaning whatsoever. The only meaning left in the term officer of the court is when the state bar or the local Supreme Court wants to boss you around.
Yeah,
because there once upon a time, there were a lot of privileges that went with being a member of the bar. I mean, legal privileges, things like that. There are no privileges anymore.
What were they?
I don't even remember what they were, but there were that accompanied that title, officer of the court.
Ladies had to tip their hat at you on the street.
Well, there's nothing that I'm missing. But I'm just saying is that the privileges that they would use to say, well, you have privileges, so now you have responsibilities as an officer of the court. Nowadays, the privileges are gone. The responsibilities are still there.
It was probably like parking at the court or something.
All yeah, right. So that's not there anymore.
So tell me more about what to do when you're in captivity of these agents of the state, the police. And they really are agents of the state. I mean, I've heard there's good cops out there. I don't know. What do you think about that theory? Do you think there's still good cops?
Well, good in the sense of that they actually play by the rules that they understand they're supposed to play by. Sure, there's honest cops that play by cop rules, and then there's There's dishonest ones that won't even play by the stacked rules that the honest ones play by, and they, you know, lie about what happened and things like that. I mean, we can talk later about how they're allowed to lie to you, but you know, certain things cops are of course not supposed to lie about, like what did the defendant say, what did the defendant do. They're not supposed to lie about that, and an honest cop won't, and a crooked cop will. What can you say?
Okay, so is there anything more, I don't want to use the word advice, but procedurally, is there anything more that somebody should do between the time they're arrested and they've already said, I want to invoke my right to silence and I want to speak to an attorney, while you're waiting for the attorney? What's new? Oh, we'll have that when we come back in the second hour. Are there new things, though?
There are new things. We'll be back.
Cool. And, you know, in case you're listening to this years in the future, this is the September 17th, 2014 episode. So when we say there are things new, these things may be gone. There may be no right to an attorney in 20 years. Who knows? Or there may be no government in 20 years. I'm hoping that. I think it'll be more like the government will be like MySpace. It still has, you know, 100 million users and none of them have logged in for a few years. As Nima Vidadi is wont to say, we'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Randy England talking about cops. Worms.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbrich Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And we're going to recap a little bit, because recap, because hour two, we're joined on two stations we're not on the first hour, in Belle Fouche, South Dakota, and Sundance, Wyoming, which is pretty cool, man. Pretty cool that there's more stations taking us, and I dig it. So we're talking to Randy England, who's an attorney. He's also a libertarian. He's not a statist. He thinks there should be government should be reduced to the size where not only it can be drowned in a bathtub, but it drowns itself in the bathtub in a big pity party because no one loves it. But he's an attorney, and he's talking about what to do. Last time he was on, he talked about what to do when you're stopped by the police.
And this time you referred to me as gentlemanly. I don't know if I'm over that yet.
I'm quoting somebody. I know the real you. You're a scoundrel and a scamp.
You know, Ben Stone is gentlemanly.
Yeah.
Even Bill Bupert is pretty gentlemanly.
Bupert.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of French, man. It's kind of French, which means it's gentlemanly because it's kind of French. So,
you
three are kind of the gentlemen of the fiends, and the rest of us are just scoundrels who, you know, I mean, I basically spend most of my time lying in a ditch pushing berries up my nose because I don't even know how to eat.
So you're saying that three of us have so far retained our dignity? Is that what this really means? At or least, just that we're old, maybe?
Well, you are I think you probably are the three oldest, although I'm the fourth oldest. I'm 50. I'm 50. Yeah.
You know, but we sort of look up to you, so that kind of makes you older.
I don't know why you look up to me, but I hear that train coming, and it's telling us that it's time to get back to talking about what to do when the police have captured you. So basically, to recap, the first hour we chatted a lot, but it basically came down to tell them you don't want to talk. You want to invoke your right to silence and you want to speak to an attorney. So what next? What if they come back and say, okay, we know you want to talk to an attorney. The attorney, your attorney's on the way. You called him. But, you know, we just got this one question. Like, you know, did you hate this guy, or, you know, were you friends or what? What do you say to that?
If you said you don't say anything, and if you did say anything in that situation, if you said, I don't want to talk to you, I want to talk to my attorney, and they said, well, okay, he's on the way, but did you do it? And you said, yes, I did. That could be thrown out of court because you had invoked your right to an attorney and your right to remain silent. And for a long time, most police, I think I mentioned that they ask you if you would waive your right. But a lot of them became more adventurous over time, and they'd sit down, you read you your rights, not ask you if you were waiving them, and just start asking you questions. And this started a number of cases, really kind of started in 2010 in a U.S. Supreme Court case where a fellow was, he was arrested. They brought him into the station and they read him his Miranda rights, the defendant, the suspect. I want to make that right because I get confusing. You know, I'm always chiding my wife for just using into pronouns and I don't know who they're talking about. And then,
well, I try to do it myself. I
try
to do about that, yeah.
I know. And now when my wife listens to this, she's really going to get after me, but that's the way it goes. Well, this fellow, this defendant, this suspect, they read him his Miranda rights, and he clams up, and he says nothing for 3 solid hours. This is a case 4 years ago. And then they ask him 3 questions. They decided to go kind of in a religious direction and said something like, you know, do you believe in God? And the guy said, yes. And he said, well, do you ask God to forgive you for your sins? And he said, like, yes. They said, have you asked God to forgive you for killing the victim in this case? And he said, yes. And he was convicted of the murder. And his attorney at trial was saying, hey, he refused to answer for 3 solid hours. What more indication do you need that he wanted to exercise his right to not give testimony against himself, his right to remain silent? And the court said, no, you cannot invoke that right simply by remaining silent. You must say you want to remain silent, or I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. Because once you indicate it clearly, and apparently 3 hours of silence is not clearly enough, then questioning has to cease. And that was the case 4 years ago. And up to then, you know, a lot of people thought, yeah, 3 hours of clamming up is probably enough to say I'm not talking and they shouldn't keep beating on you like that. But that's the way the Supreme Court went. And then we came up and 3 years went by. And now last year, 2013, a new case, Salinas versus Texas. We have another case that comes up where the defendant, I think he came in to agreed to be questioned, just a voluntary questioning. He comes in and says, yeah, I'll talk to you about whatever the thing was about. And ordinarily, they won't read you your Miranda rights in that situation. When you're not in custody, they don't have to read you your rights. If you just come in and talk to the cops, they don't have to read you your Miranda rights. And he answered some questions, and then they got to answered questions, quite a few questions. And then at one point, he just stopped answering questions, wouldn't answer anymore. And once again, the Supreme Court said, at this point, he did not invoke his right to remain silent. because he simply, by stopping and refusing to answer any more questions, he had to say, I want my right to remain silent. And he did not do that. And in that case, the prosecutor, instead of, well, obviously the thing that he didn't say, I mean, that was the silent part. The prosecutor was allowed to use the fact that he clammed up on a kind of incriminating question. He used that to show that he must be guilty, because when it came down to brass tacks, he refused to answer the question. And in the past, that has been a no-no. Prosecutors were not allowed to use your silence against you in most cases, particularly if you were refusing to answer questions. There were some exceptions, but not this big. And so now they've got silence is not enough to show that you don't want to talk to them and invoke your right. But if you're silent, you can't. They can use your silence against you. And this thing, you know, a lot of people were upset about that. I mean, you know, you think about it. Well, a lot of people know these days. I mean, people listening to this broadcast, you know, heard me recite the Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. And everybody knows these rights now. And so you might think that you could just go in and remain silent, and that would not be used against you, but that's not right. You've got to say it. And it's getting worse, because this year, this last summer, there was a case in California called People versus Tom, and the Supreme Court in California, and this is only California, of course, it was a DW manslaughter suspect where someone had been killed in a traffic accident, and the suspect was arrested. They transported the guy to the station, the police station, and he wasn't questioned at all. He stayed completely silent about what had happened, and that was all that happened. I mean, he didn't later, you know, get Miranda rights read to him and then refuse or anything. He just simply never said anything. And so the prosecutor was allowed at his trial to argue that his failure to ask about the victim's welfare, the victim's condition in the other car, showed his consciousness of guilt.
And that's crazy, because that's counterintuitive to remaining silent.
Yeah. But they were just following the Supreme Court's lead, and they said, you got to do more than be silent to invoke your right. So, and you know, you're talking about, well, what should I do if I get stopped? And most of the time, the cops, you know, they'll come up and ask you some questions. Maybe they'll just say, you know how fast you were going? And in the past, if you didn't answer the question, that really wouldn't have much of a legal effect on you in any way. But now it's starting with the first contact, that if they ask you a question and you don't want to answer it, and you don't want anything to be done with your answer, I mean, with your silence, you from the get-go, you probably have got to say, I'm sorry, don't want to answer any of your questions, officer. I'll just invoke my right to remain silent. And it's getting complicated. I mean, what's really stupid about this, you know, it's one thing when they read you Miranda rights and say, you have the right to remain silent. And then if you're too dumb to remain silent after they read you the rights, well, I don't know how to help you. But if you haven't had those read to you, now you're, what, are you expected to be a lawyer now when the cop first walks up to you and talks to you?
Well, that's the question every cop asks you when he pulls you over for speeding. The first question they always ask you almost all the time is, do you know how fast you were going? And the thing I want to point out, let me know if you agree with this or not. It seems more and more like their job is never to protect and serve, and almost always to get you in a cage or fine you as much as possible.
Well, they call them law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
If they didn't enforce the law, they wouldn't be a law enforcement officer.
I mean, I don't even know how to answer, do you know how fast you were going? Because if you say, no, officer, you're basically saying, I don't pay attention to how fast I'm going. You know, what would you answer in that situation?
That's a problem. I'm not sure. You know, if you say, I'm not going to answer any of your questions, officer, and it's a trivial case like a speeding ticket, you just go, okay, all right, he's kind of labeling me as a smartass now, so you know, I'm probably going to get this ticket. I mean, when it's not something that's real serious, you know, those are the ones that your behavior, your attitude, what you say actually could get you a warning, right?
Instead of a ticket or a ride. Instead of a ticket.
And so, you know, I don't even know what to say except anything you say can end up being used against you. If you say, oh, I was going 50 and he caught you going 70, he's just going to know you're a liar. Well, you're going to get a ticket on that.
Yeah.
And if you say you don't know, well, fine. He'll say you were going 70 and you'll say, I don't know. And guess who wins a trial on that? You can't even give a number. You can't even claim you weren't speeding.
We'll have more after this.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
This is Michael Dean jamming with attorney and wampus cat Randy England. So, Randy, we're talking about the law, we're talking about the police, we're talking about how honest people can stay out of a cage. You know, the law is so complicated, and it varies from state to state, even within the United States. And we're only talking about the United States law here. But a thing I see over and over and over is otherwise intelligent people making really dumb assumptions about the law. And I think a lot of it is based on believing that the law is simpler than it is and believing that it's not a constantly moving target. And basically, the biggest problem I see is people believing that the law in any way resembles what they think in their mind it should. I think a lot of people think, well, of course they have to treat me fairly. Then they just get munched by the machine, man. I think there are a lot of people sitting in prison who wouldn't be there if they hadn't made assumptions about that the law actually behaves itself. So I want to get, after a little while, to, well, before we get to recording the police, I want to ask where someone could go to find actual information about the law on various topics in their state, instead of just trusting some website, you know, like, or going to Yahoo Answers and getting the answer from some Yahoo. I mean, I've seen this all the time. I see a good example is firearms. Like, you know, a lot of gun blogs have really bad misinformation of what the laws are in a particular state. For gun laws, if I'm traveling to another state, I generally go to the attorney general for that state's website and look up the law. I've even printed it out before and carried it with me in my pocket when carrying what it says is legally in another state. I mean, who knows whether or not showing that to a cop would keep him from arresting you? Probably not. But, you know, it doesn't cost the cops anything to arrest you wrongly, generally, does it?
Well, they don't want to do that. You know, you said you go to the attorney general. I've done that too, and gone to the attorney general sites because I don't know easily to know where the general law is in every state unless I do a little extra research. But I often go to the highway patrol website because most of the time I'm traveling on a main highways, you know, through their state and that sort of thing. And my thought is that, well, they'll probably be just as likely to have the right information, but I'm more than likely to be pulled over by one of these very troopers, highway patrol troopers. And they, if no other cop in the state got the memo, maybe they did. So that's probably the most you can do to protect yourself. Check the attorney general website, check the highway patrol, after that, I mean, that's all I do. I don't really dig in. Unless I have a question, I don't dig into their case law and their statutes. I mean, there's only so much you're going to do before you go, forget this, you know?
How much do you travel and how often do you get pulled over?
Well, I haven't been pulled over for several years, and that was shortly after I left being a prosecutor, so I knew the cop that pulled me over, and he just said, well, just slow down. So it was okay.
And that's not saying that that only happens to officers of the court. My wife and I got pulled over here in Wyoming in town for speeding. It was kind of interesting. It was, you know, he asked for her driver's license. She gave it. She was driving. I was sitting in the passenger seat with the glove box open and a loaded revolver in plain sight in the glove box in front of me. And he asked for the insurance, you know, proof of insurance. And I said, officer, before I reach in here, I want to point out that there is. And he interrupted me and said, he said, yeah, I see the gun. It's just please give me the insurance. And I think that's wise because, you know, they can shoot you if they see you reaching to where a gun is and probably get away with it. Wouldn't you
that
say?
That was just self-preservation on your part. Smart going.
Yeah.
You know, and, now I'm not sure. I mean, he might have given you he didn't give you a ticket, right?
No, he gave us a warning and he was really pleasant. And he said, you know, please slow down. It's a really nice day and I'd hate to see an accident on this street. And that was really, it was very contrasting to me because the same, like 2 weeks later or 2 weeks earlier, no, it was about 2 weeks later, my stepson in California got pulled over for rolling a stop sign and got pulled out of the car and got guns to his head. And, you know, they were like ready to execute him almost. It was a completely.
And how old is he?
He's 25.
See, Michael, you're old. That's all there is to it. Just old.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. See?
That's Freedom Fiends. That's Randy England, the Wampus Cat. I'm Michael Dean. If you're listening on the internet instead of the radio, I've actually had people like that I don't think have ever heard talk radio before listen lately and say, like, great show, but why do you keep introducing the guest after every break? And I'm like, because this is mainly a talk radio on, you know, commercial radio show. The podcast is just kind of the digital detritus that's left over after for people who aren't in those places. It's all equally important to me, but we make it to work with a talk radio format. And the thing about talk radio is a lot of people don't listen to a whole show. They listen to, you know, a half hour, 40 minutes, or sometimes, you know, 15 minutes when they just drive into the store to pick up some milk and come back. They listen in their car. So I personally have made the decision that some people find annoying on the internet, listening on the internet, to actually try to introduce the topic and the host after every break, because I have frequently listened to talk radio for a half hour while driving in a car, heard an interview with a fascinating person, and then had no idea, A, what show I was listening to, and B, who the person was and how to find, you know, at least a name so I can Google him and try to find something else about him or contact him or listen to the archive of the show or something. So this is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Michael Dean. We're talking to Randy England. And we're talking about – Randy's an attorney, and we're talking about how to avoid getting becoming sausage in the grist mill of the police industrial complex. And so you made a kind of joking remark that I want to actually talk about as a strategy is be old, and the police won't mess with you as much. No, it's basically like you know, actually trying to make yourself not look like a target, and that basically means looking kind of square and having your vehicle look kind of square. You know, I hate to say it, but – have your tags up to date, have your car not covered in filth, you know, occasionally wash it. Don't have a lot of crazy bumper stickers. Don't have stuff dangling from your rearview mirror. Get a haircut once a year, maybe. don't look like you're on your way to a dead show or a meth deal, basically. Would you say that's true, Randy?
That is all good advice. But the first thing you want to keep in mind, though, is that they cannot pull you over for any of those things.
But they do.
Well, most of the time they don't. Most traffic stops are in response to something that the driver does. It's usually some piddly little thing. I used to ride around with the cops when I was a prosecutor, you know, they'd get going and start doing their thing and that, and they're constantly pulling people over. They're trained to watch to see if maybe just a turn signal is missed or the tiniest rolling stop. I mean, the smallest things will get you pulled over. Now, if they're really small things, it's likely to result in a warning. But what they really do want, and of course, this is your point, they want to get up and see if they can make a case. They're not, you know, the idea that they have quotas in that. Sure, cops are supposed to write traffic tickets, but nobody makes a name on traffic tickets. They want the good cases, the big cases. They want the dope dealer. You know, they want the body in the trunk. So they like to pull people over. I mean, they're not just allowed to just detain anybody they want anytime they want. So they're looking for that. Now, yeah, sure, there's a crooked cop who will make something up. They don't need to make it up. There's plenty of people, you know, just drive in your car and see how many people, you know, you end up looking at and going, hey, buddy, you got a turn signal? It happens to me and you every day. Well, it happens to cops, too. And I don't know what happens to people, why they're not paying attention. They don't even see the cop there because they're catching them all the time. So the first thing you really want to do to avoid the cops from pulling you over is avoid even those trivial things that are going to get you pulled over. Now, at that point, all the stuff that you said comes into play. Because if they don't like your bumper stickers, well, then maybe you're not going to get the warning. If they don't like the way you look, you may not get the warning. And if they really don't like the way you look, they may come up with some more reasons to hold you longer, maybe send for the drug dog, whatever it will be. They're not so likely to ask you, Michael Dean, can I search your trunk? But they're real likely to ask some teenager that.
Yeah, I also, I would like to have your opinion on, you know, there's this kind of thing of flex your rights all the time, every time, you know, no officer, am I being detained? You know, that stuff has its place, but it's not every time a cop talks to you. Here's what I'm thinking. When my wife and I got pulled over and I had the gun sitting in my open glove compartment and he could have given us a ticket and he did not, I believe he would have given us a ticket if we'd kind of seemed like punks. You know, like, oh, well, what did you pull us? You know, like stressing the maximum of pushing your rights all the time. And there are people who make a lifestyle out of that, and my hat's off to them, but it's not necessarily going to work in the best degree to get you out of there unscathed, unfined every time.
Yeah, if you had come back to the cop indignant and saying, you know, who are you to pull me over and that sort of thing, it might not have gotten you where you were headed for as quickly.
Yeah, and we might have, you know, ended up with a ticket. Or worse, you know, I mean, got to keep in mind, I had the gun in the glove box. He could have shot me and said he was grabbing that gun. You know, I mean, it'd be a wobbler of whether he'd get away with it, but he might have.
He'd have probably gotten away with that if the gun was there and it was open. I can't imagine him not getting away with it.
Yeah.
If he was willing to lie, I mean.
Yeah.
First of all, if he was willing to murder you, and second, if he was willing to lie about it, there would have been an investigation. The police department would have come out and said, well, we've investigated ourselves top to bottom and find that we were fine. And that yeah. would... Now, that might not be the end of it. I mean, you kill somebody, there's going to be more people look into it. But, boy, that would have been a tough one. If somebody had wanted you dead, you could have been.
But yeah, and even
you had a nice guy who wasn't
right
looking for trouble, and so there you go.
There you go. So
he was a statist, but maybe a nice guy.
Yeah,
you know. Besides that,
so that leads up to the cops can lie, and not just lie and get away with it, but in a lot of cases, you said it's legal for them to lie.
Well, it's not just legal for them to lie. I mean, they have classes that. You know that
they take lying classes.
You know, I mean, everybody, but you know, most people, not most people, but maybe not if you live in certain places where they don't trust the cops. But I was, well, I can remember when I was just a little toddler and being taught that if I was lost or something, I see a policeman, I should go up to the policeman, he's your friend, and tell him, you know, ask them for help.
Yeah,
and,
I remember
and
that too.
I was, and you know, not that it was bad advice from my mother or anything, you know, because the cop probably would have somehow figured out where I belonged. But of course, we're never taught that the cop would lie to you. And since he's our friend, you know, a lot of people think the police aren't going to lie. I mean, there are drug dealers, and I've read this in police reports time and time again. And not just police reports, but I've listened to surveillance audio, you know, when you have an undercover cop. And here's the drug dealer, you know, asking this undercover cop, who is their customer in this case. The dealer says, are you a cop? And the undercover cop says, no. And the drug dealer says, okay. And then they do the deal.
I think
it's
that's
crazy.
We need to stop and talk about that for a second. It is a misnomer that the cops have to tell the truth if you ask them if they're a cop. People actually have this belief. I think it goes back to like a movie in the 70s or something. People have the mistaken belief that if you ask an undercover if they're a cop and they say, no, I'm not a cop, that yet somehow a get out of jail free card. That is absolutely not true, correct?
It's absolutely not true. And even drug dealers believe that. Now, maybe they don't all, maybe they're learning, but I saw this over a course of years many times.
There's actually they explain that correctly and truly in the show Breaking Bad. There's a scene where Badger is selling dope to a really young looking guy played by one of my favorite weird character actors, DJ Qualls, the skinny guy who looks like he has cancer. I think he survived cancer, but he still kind of just has like sallow eyes, and he's really skinny and really tall and really pretty young looking. And you know, Badger's like, I don't know you, I don't want to sell you anything. And he's like, okay, the undercover cop says, well, okay, ask me if I'm a cop. And he's like, what? And he's like, ask me if I'm a cop. It's like, I think it's in the Constitution. If I'm a cop, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, are you a cop? And he says, no. And he sells him the speed, and the cop, and he pulls a revolver out of his ankle holster and arrests him. And then a bunch of, you know, a couple flower delivery vans pull up, and a bunch of cops jump out of them. Yeah, they don't have to tell the truth.
Yeah, about the, you know, the one time when cops do have to tell you the truth is when they're reading from that Miranda warning card, and they say, you know, you have the right to remain silent, your right to an attorney, that stuff. That part they're telling you is true. Now, the part about remaining silent, in fact, you always have the right to remain silent, but the problem is that if you remain silent now that the law has been changing, they can use that against you in court unless you're very clear about why you're remaining silent. You can't just shut up and expect your silence not to be used against you. But anyway,
Wait. Now, how would you give the right reason for remaining silent? What would the wording for that be?
Well, the courts, they're a little, they say that you have to clearly invoke your right to remain silent. And I think that you could say, I don't want to talk to you, I want my Fifth Amendment right. Or you could say, I want to remain silent, you know. And who knows? I mean, if you said to them, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, I hope that would be enough to clearly invoke your right to remain silent. But, you know, it's headed to a point where you're almost have to say, I want to invoke my right, you know, not to testify against myself, you know, under the Fifth Amendment or something. I mean, it could get there.
Or quote the long form of the Fifth Amendment or something. Yeah.
I mean, when you go to court, you've seen people testifying before Congress, and in court, you're supposed to say, I want to invoke my Fifth Amendment right not to testify against myself or my Fifth Amendment right, you know, against self-incrimination. I mean, that's pretty darn specific. I don't think it's that far when the cops are questioning you at this point. I think you can say, I want to have my right to remain silent. I don't want to talk to you. That's probably going to get you by, but who knows about the future?
I tell you, Randy, I want a new planet. I don't want to just get out of America. I want a new planet.
Yeah.
We'll be back with a redemption in the third act after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so... there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. So this is usually where we would do the redemption in the third act, which is, last 5 minutes we like to do something that makes you feel hopeful about the future, but we realized there's no hope with talking about police and how they can lie to you. And that's kind of a depressing thought, but here's the redemption in the third act. This is a 7-night-a-week show, 7 days a week. It's nighttime during the week and daytime on the weekend. Randy's going to be back in 2 weeks, and he made me promise that if he's going to come back, it's not going to be legal advice night like it was tonight and last time he was on. It's going to be fun, libpair, imagining law in a libertarian paradise. And I think when we do that, Randy, we have to make it really clear for anybody who's tuning in for just 5 minutes that it's not actually talking about how to behave and interact with the law.
Well, we should keep that straight.
Yeah, so the last 5 minutes... Randy's just going to tell you about how the police can lie to you all the time, or most of the time.
So they get you there, and they're questioning you, and you're saying, I didn't do it. And then they'll tell you that your accomplice has already said that you did do it, so you might as well fess up. And that can be a lie. And they can say that eyewitnesses have identified you committing the crime. And that can be a lie. And they can say that they've got other evidence like they don't have. Like they can say they have fingerprints. And what's going to happen when those fingerprints come back? And if you did it, you're very likely to say, oh, they got me, and give it up.
But you can't lie to them. That's a crime.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's another show. Jiminy, you don't dare do that. In many places, the feds and some states, it's a crime to lie to the cops. Fortunately, in my state of Missouri, it's not. There's an old story about a guy who was questioning the defendant and hooked the guy up to a copy machine. And every time they'd answer a question, the detective would push the button on the machine that printed out a report that said, he's lying. That was kind of fun. Now, they can't lie about absolutely everything. like lying to you to get consent to do a search. I think there was a recent case where they said they go to the door and say, we got a 911 phone call and we need to come in and check on the well-being of the people here. Can't do that because you're claiming an authority you don't have. If you go to the door and lie and say, if you're an undercover cop, you might go to the door and say, hey, my car broke down. Can I use your phone? That's kind of an old example, I guess, since with cell phones. But, you know, can I use your phone? And they let you in and take you over to the phone and say, go ahead and you can call. And then they say they run back to the bathroom or something. The homeowner runs back to the bathroom. You're not allowed to then search the whole kitchen just because they let you in to do that. You're allowed to see anything you saw from your lie, but your search can't go beyond the scope of the permission they gave you, which was to come in and use the phone.
Okay, again, when you say you, you're talking about the cop there.
The cop cannot lie about his authority to search. And if he gets if he gets the right to come into your house for a limited purpose, if he expands that purpose beyond what you allowed, then it would make the search illegal.
Like if he asks to use your phone and you let him in and he sees pot plants in plain view in the living room, he can arrest you. But he can't go into your bathroom. You know, if he says, can I use your bathroom? And you say yes, he can't start going through your drawers in the bathroom, right?
Exactly. So even when he tells a lie to get in, he has to stay within the framework of the lie.
I want a new planet, Randy. I want a new planet.
And this was a big problem back when they used to come and ask prosecutors about how far they were allowed to go. And prosecutors weren't allowed to help them lie because prosecutors had a professional rule that said you can't be involved in any deceit, dishonesty, fraud of any kind. And they're changing that law all across the United States so that prosecutors can help police lie.
Wow.
And they're changing the ethical rules, and now prosecutors do not have to avoid that dishonesty, fraud, and whatever. So they've corrupted themselves, too. I'm glad I got out before that happened.
Yeah. I think anybody who thinks that the whole system can be fixed is smoking something that could probably get you arrested. And I think the whole thing needs to be scrapped.
They always fix it by making it worse.
They do. And, you know, they take an inch, you give them an inch, and they take a light year. And, yes, a light year is a measure of distance. I've had people challenge me on that. Yes, sir, what?
I was just going to say good night. I had a good time, Michael.
Me too, man. Thank you, Randy. I didn't mean to be so abrupt. I just know that these clocks and these timings just come and punch you in the face. It's about to do that.
We're ruled by them.
We are. Good night. We're voluntarily ruled by them. Here we go. Right here now. Meow.
Meow.
This is right on.